is sleep on the love seat. Someone keeps saying I'm insane to complain about a shotgun wedding and a stain on my shirt. Don't believe everything that you breathe. They get a parking violation and a maggot on your sleeve. So shave your face with some mace in the dark. Saving all your food stamps and burning down the trailer park. Yo. Cause one's got a weasel and other's got a flag. One's on the pole, shove the other in a bag. With the rerun shows and the cocaine nose job, the daytime crap of the folk singer's club. He hung himself with a guitar string, a slab of turkey neck, and it's hanging from a pigeon wing. But get right if you can't relate. Trade the cash for the beat, for the body, for the hate. And my time is a piece of wax falling on a termite that's choking on the splinters. So
is that the urinal?
I don't know if that's a urinal. I think that's just the water in the sink. I don't think that's a urinal one. Do you want the urinal one?
Don't you turn the water in the sink on to go to the men turn the water in the sink on so they hear a little water going down so they
I don't know about that.
It kind of gets
true?
Their action.
I'm
going.
Always learning new things about men's urology. I just never knew any of this stuff before.
I mean, I'm here so to amazing. Teach.
And you know,
I feel like a teacher.
Well, I think, you know, we have oh, there's so many things I want to say. Okay, first I want to say, hello everybody, nice seeing you again. Second, I want to say welcome to Sportsy Talk on WFMU. Yay! Brian C. and Jim the Poet here with you today until 7, speaking of sports. And we have a special surprise guest today, which was a surprise to me even though you emailed me about it like a week ago. I just didn't see the email.
Crazy Legs Conti, the professional eater, is going to be on our show
today. A professional eater.
We're going to get the lowdown.
There is a league. There is a professional eating league.
The Professional Eaters League.
Of leagueliness.
I mean, of I'll look up what the exact title is.
Digestive.
But those guys were, they are prompt, man. Something. They are not joking
they
around.
They got right back to us. They said, yes, we will have one of our finest professional eaters call in and be interviewed on Sportsy Talk.
They say this is the guy. This is the guy to interview. This is the man's a million laughs.
He's been on all kinds of like real shows. Has
he has
not?
A list of he went on the View. He went on Good Morning America to the Today Show.
The View.
Fox and Friends.
Oh.
I don't
hey,
know. He's
okay.
been on a lot of things.
I've been on Fox and Friends.
He's also the author of Crazy Legs Conti, Zen and the Art of Competitive Eating.
Yep. He's an author, so we can have him. We're both authors. We can talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk author to author.
Author to author with Crazy Legs Conti today on Sportsy Talk.
And hopefully you'll go on the boards, give us some questions to ask the man.
Yeah.
He's going to be competing in the 4th of July
hot dog eating contest out at Coney Island.
Coney Island.
They have that every year, the Nathan's Hot Dog
Eating
Contest.
I find it transfixing. I don't know why.
You watch that, huh?
I watch it every year. I find it transfixing because I'm sure that someone's going to choke or die or fall down or throw up.
Well, you know, like, they always tell you, like, little kids can choke on little pieces of hot dog and stuff. I mean, you know, there's like, I mean, it just seems like if you're jamming 50 of them in your mouth at once, the chances are that you could, in fact, choke.
I will sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
And I'll go, I want some hot dogs. And so I'll eat about 4 hot dogs and feel full and feel good.
And that's
you know.
It, right?
And that's it. And then I'll watch somebody, like, devour 50 of them or whatever. And you're like, okay, that is, I can't stop watching, but I want to stop watching.
Well, he's a professional eater. Today we are like professional drinkers. I have so many fluids here. I've got a can of seltzer. I've got a glass of something else.
This is something else.
Are you getting on that already? I'm holding off on that. I'm still finishing my giant jumbo super can of Australian.
It's Australian for beer.
Australian
beverage. This is leaking here. I didn't realize this was leaking.
Oh, you dummy.
The trophy's not
we have,
waterproof.
We had a trophy that we were going to drink shots out of a trophy, the giant Sportsy Talk.
It doesn't really hold liquid
trophy.
So
oh,
good.
Oh, it's not watertight. Well, now we've learned that.
I mean, I drank a little bit out of it.
Do you think the, well, you finished it, right?
It tasted good.
Yeah, good. Okay, so do you think the alcohol is going to, like, affect the finish of the trophy?
I think it will give
it a nice
trophy
patina?
Character.
A patina.
It might be a patina color. It might be look like the Statue of Liberty by the end of it.
Yeah. Speaking of other authors, Crazy Legs Conti, the author of his
Crazy
book.
Crazy Legs Conti.
Right? What's he the author of?
Zen and the Art of Competitive Eating.
Right.
He's from Massachusetts.
Oh, there you go.
He's almost my age, except he's incredibly. The guy's been on The View.
He's like you, except in an alternate life.
Except he's been on NPR and SportsCenter and.
Wow. And now he's finally reached the pinnacle of his career. He's going to be on Sportsy Talk today. He's going to call us.
I mean, he was on the John McEnroe show. You remember the John McEnroe show?
No, I remember
John
McEnroe.
I think it was on CNBC. Yeah, he's great. John McEnroe's terrific.
Cool.
And, you know, we were talking about how golf is a joke.
Yes.
Tennis is terrible because. The only thing that I found interesting about tennis was when you would yell at people and throw stuff
Ilina
and stuff like
Stassi,
that.
Ilina remember him?
Yeah. That was the best. Or John McEnroe just throwing a fit
was
or whatever.
Great.
It was out, it was in, whatever. Now they just have a computer.
I'm just going around and around and around. Okay, first, the other thing I wanted to say, though, about writing, I wanted to thank everybody, all the listeners who came out to KGB on Saturday night for the
WFMU did that go?
Literary Guild. It was great.
I looked at the clock on Saturday night. I was naked.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wait, that's starting right now.
Oh, you should have come down.
I know.
It didn't actually start.
I had
when
to get clothes on or something.
No,
right?
You could come naked. It's okay. It would have been fine.
No. Yeah, I mean, no one would notice
exciting.
That
no,
I had anything.
Nobody would notice, no.
That I was naked.
No, it would be fine. No, it was really fun. There were a lot of people there. I think it was the biggest audience we've ever had.
Well, I think a lot of people came to hear you.
Well, I hope so.
Because you're always a highlight.
That's nice.
I mean,
that's
I don't know who
say.
Else. The Gottschalk, he's pretty good.
He is great. Kurt Gottschalk.
Nazario, she's good.
She's really good. She did something very experimental this time. She didn't.
Really?
She's a pretty experimental writer. She's a wonderful poet and a wonderful writer.
She's on the.
She has the Nazario Scenario.
Yep.
On WFMU. Everybody connected with the WFMU Literary Guild is a FMU person. Personality. Superstar.
Right.
Yes.
Superstar.
Yes. And, she's really good. She did a very experimental piece that was kind of more of a memoir, and it involved a music group that broke up about 10 years before she was born, which was really interesting, the Love and Spoonful.
Right.
Yes. It was like, wow.
Now, she is wise beyond her years.
Apparently.
A lovely person.
Yeah, no, she's great. She's really great. Everybody there was great.
I had a single date with her.
It wasn't a date
until she said, if this was a date, this would be going great.
Oh.
That was a long time ago.
So you didn't know it was a date until she said, if it were a date?
If this were a date, this would be the best first date ever.
Or was? That's my question.
I don't
remember. Did she say if it was a date or if it were a date? It should be if it were, because that's a subjunctive.
Somehow I blew it.
You should have, okay. Well, you probably didn't use the subjunctive. That's my guess.
I never do.
Yeah. You never use the subjunctive?
I never do.
Oh, it's my favorite tense. I use it all the time for everything.
It's your favorite tense?
It is.
You have a favorite tense?
Yes, I have a favorite tense. Subjunctive tense is my favorite tense. Just like the Oxford comma is my favorite
comma. The Oxford comma is a great comma.
Isn't it a great comma?
Yeah, I mean,
love the Oxford
I'm
comma.
Usually a comma splice kind of guy, but I mean, the Oxford comma is terrific.
We should ask Crazy Legs Conte what his favorite tense is or something, since he's a writer, too.
I mean, he's a writer. I mean, he, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm curious about is, does it, as a professional eater,
yes,
does it help if you like the thing that you're eating or not? Like at some
point,
we
got to ask him that.
Yeah, that's
a good
what I'm
question,
saying.
Right?
I'm writing this down.
Because write it down. Does he like, they have different competitions for different foods. Like he's been in the oyster eating competition, I think, and stuff.
He was
right?
on the Letterman show, and he ate. Let me just get this straight.
How many?
459 oysters.
No.
During the course of a Letterman show, that's an hour.
So he ate for an hour? He ate oysters for an hour?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He was apparently on The Sopranos. He quaffed hot sauce on Emeril and stuffed cannoli on The Sopranos. I mean, this is kind of the coolest guy
This is the coolest guest we'll ever have. So I hope.
Although next week we have Drew Adams, the goalie for the New York Lizards.
I just love his name because he's a lacrosse player. Is that right? The yes, New York Lizards yes. are a lacrosse team.
They are a part of the MLL.
Is Drew Adams not the most perfect lacrosse
he's
name?
He's kind of the bro-y,
I mean,
bro-y,
kind of a
bro-y
name, right? It's a bro name.
Bro
we'll
name.
We'll have to ask him if he's a bro. Is
I
he
don't
coming
know if he's
in?
A bro. No, he's going to be on the. He's going to call in.
I don't know. I think it'd be nice if we had the cute ones come in. He seems like he's
cute ones.
Doesn't he sound cute?
I don't know. They all wear helmets. I can't tell who's cute.
I don't know.
Cute.
His name's Drew Adams, and he's a lacrosse player. He's probably cute.
I can call them back. I don't know.
Call and ask for the
I'll call and ask if he's cute.
Okay. They'll like that. Okay, so the reason we started the show with the Beck song Loser was because we are saluting today. This is a big golf salute. And I don't think we've ever talked about golf. We are saluting Dustin Johnson.
Is that his name?
Yes, Dustin Johnson. He was in position to win the U.S. Open golf tournament this weekend, yesterday, I think. And they played it. They played it on some hideous course in Washington State.
Was that where it was? Because it looked like some kind of Mad Max like scenery.
Yeah, it was like a desert that had been blasted.
They water the plants there?
No,
like what's going on?
And there was like no grass, and it was like rock hard. You know.
Yeah, like what? I don't understand why it was yellow grass.
Yeah, it was weird.
I mean, if that's something that's been happening.
Rock hard so-called greens. They had browns instead of greens.
Well, they shouldn't call them greens if they're not green.
I know, they call them browns.
And then you would hit a shot and they'd be like, hey, that's a pretty good shot. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, it's rolling 40 feet into a ravine.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
That's, I know.
I don't want to watch people fail. Like, that's
terrible. So, Jordan Spieth. Uh-oh, we have a call. Do you think this is our guy?
Because
I wanted to. It isn't?
But, I mean, pick it up anyway. Let's see. I don't know.
All right. If
we'll
it's not,
find
we'll
out when we
on.
Answer the phone.
Okay. WFMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Farmer and Jim.
It's Danny D. Can I finish my golf story first, Danny D?
Please do.
Please do.
Okay, I'm going to finish my golf story.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jordan Spieth was in the clubhouse. He had finished his round. He was done. And Dustin Johnson was ahead of him by, like, 2 strokes.
Okay.
And he was on. Dustin Johnson was on the 18th hole,
right? Which they turned in from a par 4 to a par 5 because everyone was complaining.
I know because it was so terrible, right?
And they're like, all right, par 5, whatever. Who cares, right?
So he gets to the so-called green, I guess, and he has to putt. If he, it's a 4-foot putt, and he's a professional golfer. And if he makes the putt, he wins the U.S. Open. And he misses it, right?
Yeah.
So if he makes it coming back the other way, 4 feet the other way, he ties and they go into,
They do it today. They would have played more playoffs today.
And he misses that one. And so then he gets it in, I guess, on the third try.
I wouldn't even want to win
loses.
That.
He's
I wouldn't
a
even
loser.
Want to win that.
Dustin Johnson.
But like Greg Norman was calling it for Fox, by the way, terrible at golf. Mm. Terrible at most sports, but awful at golf.
Do you watch golf on other channels so that you have a
CBS
basis
CBS is great,
comparison?
Man. They got Jim Nance.
I don't care
Hello,
about...
Hello, friends. I'm Jim Nance.
No. My question is, do you actually watch golf on more than one channel so that you have a basis of comparison? Because that is bizarre.
Usually it's on CBS. And they do a better job.
You watch it. You watch golf.
They have Nick Faldo.
Why do you watch golf?
Nick Faldo's got like a British accent / Irish accent.
You have 500 sports channels on your giant big screen TV.
I flipped around all day Sunday. I went from the F1.
Why do you watch golf? That's crazy.
We got Danny D on the phone.
Oh, right. Danny D, how are you doing?
Doing okay. Yeah, I don't watch a ton of golf, but Fox was, it was noticeably poor. I mean,
Joe Buck is no good.
You don't realize that the other golf broadcasts how good they are until you see what's missing when somebody that hasn't done it before is doing it all of a sudden.
I mean, the thing that CBS does,
yeah,
is they play like they have lots of birds, So between shots and stuff like
yeah,
that,
but
they'll
those
have
are
like
fake, but those are fake
they'll just
birds.
Have B-roll of birds. I don't
those
care
are
if it's
fake birds. Those aren't even
I don't
birds
care
from
if it's
that
fake.
Area.
I don't. Just, like, whatever, man.
Or you have shots and there's like no reaction and they don't have the guy's name. They start talking about him after they take his name off the
there was,
screen.
There was
you're like, who the heck was it that just blew that putt? I don't know.
There was like a four-way panel at one point with the guy who does the football, who's pretty good on the football four-way panel, and he was trying to run a four-way golf panel, and it was obvious that he'd never seen a golf game, and maybe they had woken him up. Like it was, like, he's just like, oh, I don't know. And without Tiger Woods, golf is just not really all that fascinating.
No,
to
now
me.
they got this new young guy. He's 21.
He's
Gordon
fine.
Spieth?
There's a bunch of young
Spieth?
Guys.
How
whatever
does he say
his name?
His name?
No, I don't
Spieth?
Care.
Jordan Spieth.
Spieth. Okay.
I
right.
don't
Spieth.
Care. Spieth? I mean, who? Whatever.
Mm. He's gonna win all four.
Well, when's the British Open?
He's the new guy.
The British Open is like next month or something.
British
it's
Open's
like the same
cool.
Thing. It's the same kind of court.
That's what I mean. An arid, arid, dusty.
St. Andrews has these massive bunkers and his total hellscape.
The whole
perfect for him.
Danny, the whole thing looked like a bunker. I mean, like I don't know.
Awesome! I thought it was great because I root for like the hardest course. These guys are the best in the world. They should have to like go through hit through nuclear barren hellscape.
They should. No.
But isn't that what it looked like? The guys are all crying at the end, like, "Oh my God, this is the worst U.S. Open ever! Like, why do we have it here? Blah blah blah." I mean, can't they just have it at Pebble Beach every year? Pebble Beach is wonderful, man.
Dustin Johnson is not a loser. Anyone that gets to go
home
with Pauline Gretzky is not a loser.
No, he lost.
Greg Norman.
He's a loser.
Greg Norman would come, like, he would be up, like, 10 shots on Sunday and, like, be hitting it into the parking lot. I mean, Greg Norman was, like, the classic.
Who was the one? Who
was the guy to have call that thing?
Oh, that was, yeah, he's like, I know how that guy feels.
Who was the one who fell over? Like, he fainted, then he came back to his game.
No.
There was one guy got vertigo and passed out.
Darren Day.
Oh, that's
Steve
right.
Day, Jason Day, I don't know. Yeah. Whatever.
And they were showing all of his shots. They were rooting for that to happen again, apparently.
They're waiting for the tip over.
Apparently they showed every one of his shots. And you know that was Fox just rooting for...
Ralphine says it's Dustin Johnson from Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, okay. Columbia, South Carolina, home of the Stars and Bars at the State House.
Home of real uplift,
well, apparently
you know?
There was a... I didn't see the... There's a press conference today. There's a press conference today. I don't know if there was a bunch of South Carolina people who were talking about bringing it, taking it down.
Carolingians.
But it's like chained up there, so you can't even bring it down.
Why do we have to wait for... I mean, I bet if you got 10,000 people down there... If you said, okay, everybody go to Columbia on the 4th of July and we're going to march on the State House and take that thing down, they couldn't stop you.
We
all
did
the
that before. That was like called the Civil War.
No, but
didn't
we
didn't
we take down like that statue of Saddam Hussein or something? I mean, we would just
yeah, no
just
one was like stopping us.
Yeah,
from doing
well, no one would stop you there either because if you had enough people, if you said, I mean, what's the population of the United States? You could get 100,000.
It's 330,000.
Right.
330 million, something like
you
that.
You could get 100,000 people to go to Columbia on the same day.
I am
just
not
march,
going down there.
I'm going
no, no.
down there.
I am
and
not
you march
going
on
there.
The State House,
no,
right?
No.
And all the racists will come out and try to stop you, and they'll have to bring out the National Guard to
I
stop the racists.
I got to rumble with the racists to take it down. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
No. I'm staying home for 4th of
July. And then 7 flags to go after that one.
Yep. I got Yankees tickets for the 4th of July. I bought a Yankees jersey. Yeah, I got it.
You
me and Ben are going to the Yankees.
Steinbrenner's birthday.
Is it Steinbrenner's birthday?
He's dead.
Well, it would be his birthday.
Danny D, we got a caller coming in at.
Oh,
in
yeah,
like,
no, you
he might be calling right
guest.
Now.
Callers,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
we got
a special.
Stand in your way.
No, we got a special guest. We got
I
a special guest.
In. You guys are great.
We got,
you guys
we
are the most trusted team, and I'll let you go because instead of eating, they should call Taylor Ham.
Oh,
anyway.
Oh, right. There, well, Danny, do you know who won the pork roll eating championship?
I can look it up.
Okay.
I put a link. There's a link on the playlist to the guy who won his profile.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
right.
Third man Danny D calling in today. Thank you.
Yay, bye.
Always informational.
Well,
because I was emailing the professional eaters people, and they immediately responded. It was the guy who does like the carnival barking on the 4th of July. He's terrific.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, well, Tess will take care of this
or whatever.
Is that
Dick Sagan?
That's not his name. Dick Sagan? No, that's a great name.
Sagan. Z-A...
No.
No? Zagan?
That's not his name.
Sagan?
I have no idea what his name is. I have to look it up. But, I initially wanted Eater X because I've always been fascinated with Eater X. He looks like the Ultimate Warrior from wrestling. He wears makeup on his nose and he does an X move. I mean, he's like 20 dogs or whatever like that.
It's all
Joey
visual.
Chestnut eats 50 dogs.
So it's Joey, like, Joey Chestnut is the guy, right? Joey Chestnut's won like four or five years
in a row.
He's the eternal champion.
And he beat Kobayashi the first year that it was like head-to-head. Right. Kobayashi was like the guy.
He was the Japanese professional eater.
And
so
he created the path to to like the how to eat hot dogs. Because it used to be like 25 dogs would win you the contest. Now it's like 50 dogs win you the contest.
You got to do 50.
So, and maybe we'll ask Conti about it, whether he knows Kobayashi or whether Kobayashi's
Kobayashi's, we got a call, and this might be our guy. I'm so excited.
Are you excited?
Yep. WFMU, you're on the air with Sportsy Talk.
Yeah, this is Crazy Legs Conti.
Yay!
Yay!
Thank you. We've been talking you up a lot to our listeners today, and we're so pleased that you called us. Thanks.
Absolutely. Honored to be on.
You're my personal hero for being in that hot dog eating contest, which I watched. It's like transfixing on ESPN every year.
It is very visceral. It does cause a response. Some adulation, others revulsion.
And you're my hero because you've been on The View, and that has the same response, adulation and revulsion.
That
so that's
is true.
Awesome.
You've been on every show in the world, man.
And now you're on Sportsy Talk.
I assume when you're calling me a hero, you're referring to like a grinder or a sandwich. But,
no, you're like you're like a god to me. Cause
I appreciate it. The View is interesting because they didn't want to rehearse around the competitive eating. We had the Lefevers on, eating both fruitcake and hot dogs, and I was eating New Orleans oysters, and I think Joy Behar was... she was not comfortable with the yonic mollusk, and I had to point out that it was Gulf oysters, the best in the world. So,
So are oysters your favorite thing to eat? Because I know you ate them on Letterman too.
That's
didn't
true.
You?
I love. I live in New York City, so it's cost prohibitive to eat seafood. So to go to New Orleans and have Rouse's crawfish at French Quarter Fest, which is a contest, or Acme oysters are great. Mm-hmm. And the oyster eating contest was my first pro eating contest, but I've been a fan of the Nathan's Hot Dog Championship prior to that. So as a competitive eater, you have to run the gamut of every food.
Because like every week it's like something different, right? I mean, every week it's like something different. Like it was Taylor ham / pork roll this past week. And were you in the pork roll contest?
I'm still digesting New Jersey's finest pork roll, although I know you guys are, you're both sort of Hudson Valley, New York, and then also New Jersey. So it's sort of a Bruce Springsteen versus Billy Joel station. And I have to say, after being in the pork roll eating championship, I'm going all Billy Joel. I don't know what if they're serving scrapple on Long Island. Pork roll was an impossible discipline.
How many pork rolls did you eat?
Well, we do it in poundage because obviously
high
enough in sandwiches. So I only hit about 2.5 pounds.
That's a pretty decent amount of pork roll. I mean,
pretty low. These were Portuguese rolls, very thick, very dense.
Oh wow!
Matt Megatoad Stoney, the kid in the skinny jeans, will be fighting Joey Chestnut on July 4th. Mm-hmm. Really, kind of blew it out. But I think it's because he'd never eaten pork roll before. He didn't have that muscle memory or sense perception of what was going to go wrong.
He didn't know what was coming. He had
no idea. He just didn't know. He was like, is it bologna? Is it spam? Is it an actual meat? So, the rest of us who consider it the foie gras of dog food had some issues. And I apologize to New Jersey in advance, but it was probably one of the toughest contests ever.
How many years have you been on the professional eating circuit?
I have been a pro eater for 14 years. I've been fortunate, as you said, to do lots of shows. But in 2009, Major League Eating partnered with Navy Entertainment, and we've actually done 7 tours where we entertain all the armed forces, and we ate in pro-ams, and I've even eaten Nathan's Hot Dogs in Gitmo. So that's probably been the best thing I've done as a competitor.
Oh, my God. But wait, so you went to Gitmo and other...
I've been to bases in Japan and Italy, Sigonella, Suda Bay.
And other eaters went with you? And
We usually send about 3 eaters and an MC, and we'll do team eating. So interestingly enough, everyone will tune in and see Joey Jaws Chestnut really crush the wieners and buns. But his nemesis, we were in Seoul and Chennai in South Korea on 2 different bases. Mm-hmm. At Yoksum Army base, and he couldn't handle kimchi. We did watermelon and kimchi.
Well,
kimchi's
about 15
pounds
of
watermelon,
and
he couldn't
finish
a bowl
of
kimchi. So,
kimchi's hot.
But it's a great thing to be a major league eater. It's certainly great on the July 4th holiday to celebrate the birthplace of our country, and what's more American than really eating too much at a barbecue. So I look forward to it every year, and this is a very special year for me as I return to the table after a two-year absence. I hadn't qualified the last 2 years. So.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because I did remember your name. Initially, we had asked for Eater X, who wasn't available today.
Oh, he is a man of mystery.
Well, that's what I was curious about.
No one knows, does it hide inner anger?
Well, that's because we didn't.
He's actually my roommate. I still don't even know where he is. I'm sitting in my apartment, and I don't believe he's here.
I am super fascinated with him because
we would have gotten the same response.
He's like the ultimate warrior of professional eating.
Exactly.
And I'm always thinking, like, wait, maybe he's going to get this chestnut guy. Maybe he's going to catch up with him. Like,
I don't know. He's beaten him in other things, grits and chicken wings. There's a big Hooters chicken wing circuit coming up, and Joey is somewhat vulnerable in that discipline. But July 4th, for that 10 minutes, Joey Chestnut, Nathan's Hot Dogs.
He's the man.
It's like Mike Tyson in the ring. It's like Lance Armstrong on a bike. I use those two gentlemen to compare to Joey Chestnut, allegorically, let's say. But he's just hard to beat. His entire yearly salary is based on that 10 minutes. So
he's an ingestion engine. You mentioned Lance Armstrong. Is there any kind of problem with performance-enhancing drugs in the competitive eating
drug
circuit?
Drug testing has not yet come to major league eating. and I will say this quite honestly. You can rub the clear on your belly. It won't help you eat more. There is a substance people say causes the munchies. We did run an unofficial grilled cheese eating contest at Coleman's Bar and Grill where people were on that substance, and they mostly just stood around and smiled. They didn't eat much grilled cheese. So.
Okay, so you got to be sharp to do the eating.
What do you?
Yes, you have to be hungry and focused, as Eric Badlands Booker's seven rap albums, Food Hip Hop, does say. So it's you get into a zone. It's like any other sport. You ignore the eater to your left and right, the fireworks, the 40,000 people at Stillwell and Surf, the groupies, the flashing.
It's a big thing. I went the year that the Refrigerator Perry went down, and the Refrigerator Perry made all these, like, I'm going to go down, I'm going to win this thing, I'm like 400 pounds. The guy had like eight dogs, and I was like, I'm done.
Thus proving that Major League Eating is tougher than the NFL. I mean, we suffer less head injuries, but at the same time.
Well, so far.
But you're already kind of crazy to get into it, aren't you?
A little bit. We probably should be wearing helmets, at least for pork roll I should have had a helmet on. But
does it make a difference?
And Major League Eating does about 60 to 90 events a year all across the country, across the world. So you go to the website, you find out when we're coming to your hometown. And this weekend coming up is a huge one as people are still qualifying for Nathan's in Sonoma. There's a Hooters contest in Long Beach. New Hampshire is going to be a big fight for the wild card number. And then Cleveland as well. So
what are they eating in New Hampshire?
In order to make it to the final table, you have to win a qualifier, and there's about 14 in the U.S. So this weekend there are actually three that finishes off the circuit. So three more men and women will make it to the table because obviously now there's no Title IX in competitive eating. The men and the women compete separately.
No, I mean, and the women do great. I mean,
honestly, this year is going to be a bun buzzer beater. Mickey Sudo, last year's champ, dethroning the longtime hot dog queen, Sonya the Black Widow Thomas. Mickey, I was with her at Ribfest in Chicago.
Yeah.
Let's just say we perhaps consumed too much old style beer and played some laser tag. I don't know if she has the focus to take Sonya on. So it's going to be close. I'm predicting a three-quarter hot dog and bun difference in the women's contest.
Wow.
Wow, that's close.
Wow. Well, they do. Now they do. It used to all be the same contest, and now they have the women's contest and the men's contest.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, we're hoping. You know, we're on ESPN2 this year because there's tennis, which is not half as athletic or as aerobic.
I don't care about it. Yeah, tennis is boring to me. Professional eating is what I'm going to be watching.
And besides, you see that thing? It just reminds me of a peep. I just get hungry watching it go back and forth. Why can't I eat that fuzzy thing? but I have a feeling maybe ESPN2 will do a little more coverage of the women's contest because 2015 was year of the female eater, you know, hear my stomach roar, and Michelle Lescamo, thus named because her stomach has 13 different words for digestion, is going to be fighting Sonya and Mickey as well. So it's going to be a great July 4th.
That sounds
I did feel like they gave the women's game a little bit short shrift because they would come on to ESPN and it, like, that would have already happened and they'd be interviewing them or something like that.
That's true. You know, but in fairness, Sonya Thomas was so dominant. I believe she has 36 world titles alone that she had almost no competition. But now Mickey Sudo, having captured the crown last year, I mean, these two, you know, it's exciting and sort of hyped up as the next Ronda Rousey MMA fight. I mean, this is people are going to be doing arm bar snaps in their esophagus it's to like those the, Nathan's hot dogs.
It's like the Women's World Cup of eating.
It's true. It's true. Yes. No one will be taking off their shirt in celebration of eating a hot dog, though.
Why
we're
going
to keep it clean and non-misogynistic
awesome.
Or sexual.
But Crazy Legs, does it make a difference to you as a professional eater, like, if it's something that's tasty to you, or like, how do you, like, what is your best sport?
I don't taste the food per se until after the contest. I always taste one of whatever it was. A lot of it is technique. If it's a debris food, leaving a bone, a shell, you know, Hooters chicken wings, Acme oysters, Rib Fest ribs, all those have components where it's a different kind of manual to oral dexterity. And that's generally where I do well. I'm the four-time corn on the cob eating champion with 42 ears
right.
in 12
wow.
minutes. It's all technique, the manual typewriter. So don't invite me. If you're serving, you know, if you're having clam bake and you've got corn on the side, unless you've got maybe 133 years, don't invite me to that picnic.
Well, and you did 30 Maine lobsters in 12 minutes?
Yes. I put a dent in the lobster business in Maine, and they did away with that contest, unfortunately.
They did away with the contest?
Because you...
Sonia, truth be told, Sonia beat me each year. I would drink the brine instead of using liquid, and I had to shave my goatee because it smelled
it
so bad
smelly,
the next
yeah.
day.
Oh,
but I vacationed in Maine, so the chance to eat as many lobsters as you could in one sitting.
Yeah, right.
What
I had
your...
a very attractive person breaking my tails and claws for me. So really, it was a competitive eater. It was any man's dream come true. Imagine a beautiful blonde opening all the lobsters you could eat.
Well, what's
if only
your...
I had a Gary's Pale Ale.
What do you think your best food is for eating?
Recently, I've been excelling in the dessert discipline. I do well at the cannoli eating contest in San Gennaro. I've done 9.5 pounds of strawberry shortcake. So I'm hoping for more of the sweet sprint, as we call it, the 6-minute contest. So if there are sponsors out there, I mean, Italian Sfegliatelli is a little tough on the jaw, but, I mean, let's bring back the tiramisu crown, which is owned by EaterX. Let's really, you know, I'm going to have room for dessert maybe on July 9th. So anytime after that, I'm willing to do a sweet
right,
contest.
I have to ask you the difficult question now. I have heard that after competitive eaters complete the contest, they go to, they have buckets, or they go to the vomitorium
untrue.
Or something if like
I,
that.
Now,
that
Joey Chestnut wins the money. He wins the mustard belt.
Mm-hmm.
If I eat 25 on July 4th or even 20, that's my trophy. I'm not giving up to the fans. And the truth is, myself, Badlands Booker, we wade into the crowd, we'll sign anything. I will throw my game-worn jersey to the crowd, and this year I think they're requiring me to wear shorts, which I wear shorts year-round, so not having a choice of shorts is a little disconcerting.
Aww.
I will throw my game-worn shorts into the crowd. I may just be wearing underwear, but I will wander into the crowd, sign things, chat with people, go to Ruby's on the boardwalk. So I won't be by myself for 3-4 hours. The food will digest. And then I'll head to the after party at Professor Tom's in Manhattan, 7:33 p.m.
Oh, yeah, it's a great place over there.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I'll
yeah.
switch
Red Sox
from beer
bar.
To whiskey. And that's basically how I digest Anaconda style for 24 to 36 hours.
Oh, my God. I have a question about Ruby's on the Boardwalk. I was there once, and I got really drunk, and I ate some of their shellfish. Was that was that a mistake, or am
well,
I okay?
Think of it this way. This is a yes. place now it's in the new Coney Island. It's been refurbished, and it looks great.
It actually looks great
now.
The
owner and bartender did a great job, but I think it was 3 years ago, a guy fell through the bathroom there.
Yeah.
And everyone was distraught because the bathroom was closed for a year, and they were worried. Like, the guy was fine. And I thought, what a great honor. Like, imagine being the guy who broke the crapper and fell through the boardwalk.
At Ruby's.
Ruby's. So I hope he comes out because I want to shake his hand, maybe pat him on the back, not shake his hand. But
yeah.
It's a great spot, and it's a chance to mingle with all the eaters after we've eaten too many hot dogs.
So the people who come out for this event at Coney Island on July 4th, they'll be able to actually meet the people who are competing and hang out with you guys, really.
The bottom line is Major League Eating, we don't do pay-per-view. We're not Pacquiao Mayweather. We don't do ticket prices. We're not, you know, the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free event. We appreciate people using their leisure time to watch us gustatory gladiators do battle. And
no, and I've gone down a couple of 4th of Julys, and you always think that it's going to be super crowded or like something, but you can really get up close to the contest and see how people are doing.
Absolutely. And you know, for my money, nothing tastes better than the leftovers from a competitive eater's plate. So if you don't want to wait in line at Nathan's, just hang out. And I usually have more leftovers than Joey Chestnut at EaterX, so I'm happy to hand those out or autograph the bun or just really enjoy
the
day.
I mean, do you feel like that there's an over sort of focus on hot dogs on the 4th of July? Do you think that professional eating will be something that as a growing sport, will be covered better?
Well, it's interesting because obviously the I don't mind the focus that day on hot dogs. People, you know, don't realize that, that harness racing is attached to events like the World Pork Roll Eating Championship, or coming up in upstate New York is the Speedy Eating Championship, a very dense chicken sandwich. So year-round, the only day that I consider amateur hour is Thanksgiving.
Right.
And we've done whole turkey eating contests, most recently, you know, at the Mohican Sun Casino. So I feel like 364 days, pros will take Thanksgiving off because we know what we can accomplish. And let's focus on some of the different food groups and maybe the foods that are even farther out there. I mean, I wish we could have a sea urchin eating contest, just a trough of sea urchin and no utensils. To me, that's a great Thursday afternoon.
Well, you're from Massachusetts. I'm from Massachusetts. Do you how many like gallons of clam chowder do you think you could do?
Well, that's the conundrum, a soup contest. Is it a hot soup? Is it a cold soup? George Shea thinks about this all the time. You know, and for me, you know, clearly you and I both agree that there is only one clam chowder. Manhattan clam chowder seems
that's not even an argument.
The bouillabaisse of Darwin's waiting room. Whatever they put it in, it has gone wrong.
Yeah.
But the closest we've come is we did salmon chowder, and the world record was, I think, 2.5 gallons. And I hit about a gallon and a half. So I feel like, you know, depending on how thickly you slice those potato cubes, as long as it's not library
paste. That's the thing that fills you, right? I mean, you know.
Oh, it's definitely it's a serious starch, yes. You would get, in meat contests, sometimes you get the meat sweats. In that contest, you might get the chowder belly.
Wow.
Of course, the ladies after the contest are always looking for a guy with a good chowder belly. So.
Can you talk a little bit about your book, Zen and the Art of Competitive Eating?
Absolutely. If a book ever comes out, which would be a goal, it will be in written form. But the movie, it's a DVD, and it's on Amazon for like $6. I mean, it's cheaper than lunch.
It's cheaper than renting
Netflix
a movie.
Netflix has it,
yeah.
And maybe streaming soon. It was my journey from casual diner, fan of competitive eating, to pro eater in my rookie year in 2002. So we're coming up on the 15th anniversary of it, and I did eat my way out of a 8-foot box of popcorn, the popcorn sarcophagus, to celebrate the movie, and that earned me the moniker the Houdini of Cuisine. So
wow.
That's a DVD extra.
That's a pretty good moniker.
So
I mean, that's not a bad moniker.
No, that's good.
Not bad at all. No, I live a very charmed life, eating a lot of free food around the world, and people are very nice to me, and I try to return the favor by eating all I can everywhere I go.
That's great. Thank you so much, Crazy Legs Conte, for being on Sportsy Talk
Absolutely.
With us
we'll
today.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys on the 4th. Please,
totally.
Don't bring me any pork roll.
We'll be watching.
We'll be watching.
Sounds good.
Good luck.
We'll do.
Bye.
Crazy Legs Conte, his DVD is called Zen and the Art of Competitive Eating. He'll be on the 4th of July. He said it was on ESPN2 this year.
That's what he said.
He'll be eating dogs. Hopefully he gets like 25 dogs
in
him.
What a cool guy.
No, he's terrific.
I love him. Thank you for getting him on as our guest today. You did that all yourself. That was really good. I couldn't believe it. I'm so happy.
I wanted to interview Eater X because I was like, well, he's
I thought
mysterious.
That was kind of, I thought it was a little bit rude of you to say that to Mr. Conte, but
oh.
That's okay.
Well, no,
that's
I just right. wanted to no, let
no,
him
no,
know.
No,
I
sorry.
No
we,
disrespect.
No.
But, I mean, he hasn't been on the hot dog eating contest for a couple of years,
so I don't remember him. This is better. I mean, this is like...
Terrific guy, and we'll be cheering for him definitely on the 4th of July.
Yeah, we'll always cheer for him now.
And, I mean, for us, part of our show, like, we want to bring different sports to you, and I think that professional
That's
eating is a...
Probably as different as it gets.
We're ready. We're ready for professional eating to break through.
Dude, you are getting into professional drinking, I have to say.
I only drank half of this.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's not that much.
I haven't had any yet.
I know. I drank the one from the thing, too.
Yeah, I know you did.
And the water sound in the background makes me want to go to the bathroom.
Oh, really? Oh, do you want me to change it? Because I can't.
No, it's fine. It's okay.
Here, I changed it.
Wasn't he a great guy, though?
Yeah, he was great. Crazy Legs Conte.
Crazy Legs Conte.
Professional eater.
Check out his website. It's crazylegsconte, CONTI.com.
He says that they don't... They don't vomit afterwards. They keep it all in there. I don't see how they do that.
See, I don't know about Joey Chestnut, but I think the guys who eat like 20, 25 wait in the audience. I think Joey Chestnut gets whisked away to some other place.
Probably.
But, I mean, we heard back from George Shea like almost immediately.
Yeah. And he's like,
and
what,
he's the main guy. He's
is he
like
the commissioner of the league.
He's the Carnival Barker main guy in the in the thing.
Okay, cool.
By the way, I'm brought to you by Cat in Chicago.
And I am brought to you by Lister Dan B. Upstate. All right.
Studio B. Ben says, great interview. Awesome job, Jim and Bronwyn.
Yeah, that was totally unprepared. We just made that stuff up. But thank you, Studio B. Ben.
No, because we had talked about it on the air last week.
Did we?
And then I went home and I got
you
drunk
did it,
and
yeah.
I sent a bunch of emails and then they were
good.
Ready to go.
It worked. It worked.
Is that
great.
Like a blender sound in,
I don't
in back
know what
of
that
us?
Is. I don't have no idea what that is. I'm going to look up what it is. I could do
No, it's not important. That sounds like somebody emptying a dumpster.
Yeah, I'll go back to this one. There.
At the top of the hour, it is...
that girl.
That's not what we call her. Honky-tonk
radio girl
with Becky.
I told you it was a girl.
Yay. It is a girl.
All right, it's a girl. That girl.
Honky-tonk radio girl with Becky.
And tonight, Women's World Cup action, right, is happening.
I'm excited, but I'm nervous.
What? Okay, USA versus Colombia.
I'm nervous because Colombia's been pretty hot.
Well, Colombia... No, actually, Colombia was kind of wretched, but they did beat France. Colombia is, like, ranked...
I love when France loses
I
in
know,
any sport.
Of course.
At any time.
Of course. Colombia is ranked 28th in the world. France is ranked 3rd, right? So they were in the same group in the group play of the Women's World Cup, and Colombia... Like, I think they had a draw and a loss, but they beat France, so they squeaked through. They were 3rd in their group.
I'm worried because...
They squeaked through.
We've had 3 different lineups for the American ladies, and we haven't scored a ton of goals.
No, but the last game, Amy Wambach, is that her name?
Abby Wambach.
She broke through in the last game.
But she's having trouble with her. She's tall, and she can head it in.
Yeah, she's the main scorer.
She's the main scorer.
She's scored more goals, I think, in international play than any other person in the world, man or woman.
Man or woman
in
the United States history.
Yeah, by far.
But, I mean, I'm a little nervous because her heading timing is off.
She's a little off.
They've been having troubles in midfield.
She didn't score at all the first 2 games, but they got through anyway. They actually
she was on the bench for the second game.
Well, the USA
and then they brought
won,
her in late,
right? And she scored. The USA won their group of death, and they're into the knockout round now with Colombia, and they're playing tonight. USA women playing Colombia tonight. Colombia is doing all kinds of trash talking. They are saying
Colombia's been talking the whole time.
Yeah, they say that USA doesn't respect them. That you know they're going to show the USA. They're really fired up. So
I mean, we should beat Colombia, but
we should beat them handily, you know, but we might not. So
well, we haven't found the lineup that makes the most sense for us. I think, and so. It's been difficult because...
Yeah. And the USA coach is still saying, like, oh, yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, don't worry. But, you know, they keep changing the lineup.
I'm a little nervous because we haven't shown... We've had a lot of movement up the sides. We haven't shown a lot through the middle. And I'm just a little nervous because we haven't... We have to have... At some point, you have to break out and score 2 or 3 goals to, like, feel good about the team.
Right.
And we just haven't done that yet. So I'm a little nervous.
Here's my question of the day about Women's World Cup.
Lay it on me.
Is Eniola Aluka face blind? That's my question.
I don't know who that is.
She is a forward for the English team, right?
The English team, and
They're playing Norway, like, right now.
Apparently, Ken from Hyde Park says, England again with a big shot, making it 2-1 over Norway in the 76th minute. Winner faces Canada on Saturday.
Correct. Yes. So the Eniola Aluka... is a forward for England. They were playing France, and she, in the middle of the game, you know, like at halftime or whatever, she ran off the field, and she high-fived the French coach instead of the English coach. She high-fived the wrong coach.
Maybe she likes the French coach.
Well, she just, it was a mistake. She said, oh, I didn't recognize him.
Maybe
so
possibly
face blind, right?
Yeah.
So her teammates gave her a punishment. And they made her high-five everyone she saw for 24 hours. So she had to high-five every single person at their hotel, every single person, you know, everybody she saw, she tried to high-five for 24 hours.
This says on the ESPN website, it says bronze rips strike to put England ahead.
What does that mean?
England has now scored on both of its shots on goal.
Yay.
As Lucy Bronze's strike.
Yay.
from the edge of the box, has her squad ahead of Norway 2-1.
Yay!
England beat New Zealand 2-1 in the group stage.
Yay!
Blah, blah, blah. So, I mean,
okay.
For me, I'm really only interested in the women's U.S. team.
Yes.
I'm super invested in them.
Yes.
I can't bear to watch them lose.
No.
And I'm really eager to watch them when we get home, like at 8 o'clock or so.
Yeah, what time does the game start tonight?
Like 8?
Eight.
But the thing is, like, why
isn't it? Isn't it on some obscure station
that I don't
get? Yeah,
it's on Fox One Sports.
Okay. Oh,
it's
right. Like, well, Fox One Sports. Well, everyone will watch
that.
I
mean, they already did an article that was like, it's the biggest sporting event.
Yeah,
and
it's like
the numbers of people who are watching
and
are akin to the World Series.
They're promoting it so heavily. I was in the 42nd Street subway station at Bryant Park, right?
Yeah.
They have all the walls are covered. They have this passageway from 40th to 42nd Street that was closed down for many, many years because people were getting raped and murdered in it, so they just closed it, right?
Wait a minute, is this the BD stop?
No. It's the, BDF, yeah. The BD stop.
Well, there's this big, long gauntlet.
So they opened it up. They opened it up finally. They decided New York was safe enough that they could open that up. That entire, like, two blocks is covered with Women's World Cup, like, posters on the walls, huge, life-size pictures.
The U.S. is never going to win the World Cup.
They have
except in women's.
The Women's World Cup, right?
I mean, the men are never going to win the World Cup.
They might.
No, someday. No. They
I
will
read,
never win
no,
the World Cup.
No, I read an article today about how all human life will be extinct within 3 generations, and I think by the time we get to the 3rd generation when everything's going extinct,
that's true, yeah.
By the time everybody's going extinct, I think there won't be any, like, there won't be any Argentinians left or Brazilians left or anything, and then the U.S. will win the World Cup. Yeah, that's what
no,
I think.
No, the men.
No? Yeah,
the men are
sure.
Never going to win the World Cup.
Sure, they will.
No,
when everybody
they will
else is
never
extinct,
win the World Cup.
When everyone else is extinct and we're playing like a few leftover amphibians or something, then
no.
we will win the women's World Cup
because the women we have are terrific.
Yes,
terrific.
You've had a lot to drink. I haven't even had an entire beer.
201-209-9368.
Yep.
That's 201-209-9368.
Call up.
Call now.
Tell us what you think of the Women's World Cup.
I wanted to talk about
Tom Brady's appeal. Wait.
I
just want to finish saying.
Tell me.
They're promoting the Women's World Cup like crazy, but
because
they're not.
Because they're the best.
I know, but they're not putting it on a channel that anyone can see.
It's
on
total
Fox
garbage.
Sports 1. That's like ridiculous. Who gets that
They
channel?
Did an article
Nobody
about
gets that channel.
The Women's World Cup has been drawing huge audiences.
Yeah.
Like akin to the NBA Finals.
Right.
And
no one can see it.
The first game was on Fox Sports 1, and they put 2 games on Fox.
Right, on Fox.
And it exploded, right? Of course.
Why wouldn't it?
I mean, I'll look it up, but,
all
like,
right.
It's ridiculous it's that they're
stupid.
On Fox Sports 1 tonight.
Wait, so do we have to go to a bar to watch it?
I don't, because I have 5,000 channels.
Let's all go to your house.
I mean, I have a channel of everything.
I know you do. It's crazy. You guys are weird.
Who's weird?
You and your...
Me
fancy,
and Ben?
You and your significant roommate, Ben, yeah. You guys are
we
weird.
Spend, like, $200 a month.
That's what I'm saying. It's weird. Nobody has TV anymore. The Youngs don't have TV. I don't have TV. Although I'm not a Young.
Let me see here.
Hmm. Yeah, what are you finding out? What channel it's on?
Yeah, the Women's World Cup had better ratings than the Stanley Cup.
Wow, really?
Orlando viewers preferred Women's World Cup soccer to Stanley Cup soccer. Whoa.
Orlando should not have it.
Orlando shouldn't have television.
No. Weirdos.
Sorry, they're giving me an advertisement now. But all I'm saying is, as the further that America goes, the better the ratings are, no matter if it's men or women or whatever.
Right.
And like
201-209-9368 is the number to call. Do you want to talk about the Orem Owls?
Becky's here.
Yay. Do you want to talk about the Orem Owls?
The what?
The Orem Owls.
What is that?
That is a minor league baseball team.
What do they do?
They were having Caucasian Heritage Night.
What? Jesus. Really?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
They were. Okay, listener Jim sent me a link, but I already had heard about... This is great, because I heard about this on the radio. I was going to talk about it on the air, and then I completely forgot about it, because I didn't write it down. Yeah. So thank God for our listeners, because listener Jim sent me that.
I love our listeners.
Yep, our listeners are the best.
I'm a little drunk.
You are, you are out of your mind drunk.
I drank a little bit of this.
I haven't even had any.
I know,
yet.
You haven't even drank.
I know. That's, you know, crazy. Right, so the Orem Owls are the farm team of the Los Angeles Angels. And
what? Los Angeles Angels.
Yes, Los Angeles Angels. They're in Orem, Utah. They had planned to have Caucasian Heritage Night on August 10th.
Oh, my God.
And they were saying, like, oh, yeah, anybody who's, like, Caucasian, you know, Northern European, your descent, yeah, celebrate, right. And they were going to show, like, clips from Seinfeld and Friends, and they were going to have, like, white bread with mayonnaise.
Just, like, at this moment in American history, we don't need that.
I know,
we
right?
just don't
exactly.
need it.
So when, like, Charleston happened and a few other things, right? And somebody pointed out to them that was probably, like, a really, really bad idea. And so they finally, what happened was that the lieutenant governor of Utah called them and told them to stop it. Said, this is just not appropriate. Don't do it. They were going to keep...
That's good advice.
They were going to keep doing it. They didn't care, right? They were going to keep going. So, and then they're... the director of media and communications quit, and the team issued an apology. And then the director of media and communications came back, and his last name is like Zamboni or something.
It's I love the Zambonis.
Right?
As a
I know
family.
You do. I know you do. And he said that it wasn't his idea, and he told them not to do it, but because he's a professional, he's not going to give people the name of the people who thought of the idea. And they can take credit for it if they want to. That was his statement. But he says it wasn't his idea.
I love the Zamboni family.
It wasn't his idea. Well, it's like, it's not actually Zamboni. It's like Zambobini or something, but something like that.
Oh.
It looked like Zamboni the first time I saw it, and I thought, well, you know, that's something Jim, the poet, would like because he loves the Zamboni.
Because I wrote to the Zamboni family.
I know. Oh, you wrote to the family?
I wrote to the company.
Yes. That's said, different. That could be different. The family could be
well,
different.
Well, I mean, like in the sixth
is it
inning?
Is it owned by the Zamboni family?
Yeah.
Yeah,
in
okay.
the sixth inning of yes. every baseball game, yes. they rake the infield.
With
and I said, you should have a sand bony that goes around the bases. And they wrote back to me. They're like, you're a jerk. That's our family name. Why are you such a jerk? And I was like, what? I'm just a, what happened?
What just happened there? 201-209-9368. We had Danny D called us. And
I mean,
Crazy Legs
we
Conti.
Should have Crazy Legs Conti call us every
Crazy
week.
Legs Conti
that guy's
called
outstanding.
Us. He was fantastic. Yeah, I'm really thrilled that we had him as a guest today. And then
I'm trying to understand the article I'm reading about.
What happened to those guys that used to call us from Detroit and tell us about their high school football teams?
I haven't made
like
fun of Detroit in a while.
Oh, okay.
Orlando viewers preferred Women's World Cup soccer to the Stanley Cup Monday. And now you're talking about
a team that has a town that has a team in the Stanley Cup finals.
Like Tampa Bay was in the finals.
No, Orlando wasn't it? Who does Lightning?
Tampa Bay.
Oh, all right. Well, then
the FIFA Women's World Cup on right. Fox Sports 1.
Why are we talking about Orlando? Why aren't we talking about Tampa Bay? What did Tampa Bay
it's
prefer?
I don't know. It's the top of this article.
God.
FIFA Women's World
That's
Cup on
stupid.
Fox Sports 1 averaged an impressive 71,000 viewers in this market.
Who cares?
I was looking in
other markets?
There was a big number here. I don't know.
Oh, my God. All right.
I'm looking at another article
okay.
there.
Yeah, I like
this. This is
I like
Jim reading
stuff
articles from the internet.
On the radio.
On Sportsy Dog.
That's great.
The TV audience for the Americans' 3-1 win over Australia was more than tripled the ratings for the U.S. opener 4 years ago. U.S. national team's run at the Women's World Cup is off to a strong start. In the table and through the airwaves, America's 3-1 win over Australia on Monday was the most watched group stage match in Women's World Cup history, Fox announced. So they put it on Fox Sports 1.
When they put it on Fox, people watch it. But when it's on Fox Sports 1, who can see it? No one can
I can
it.
Watch it because I have.
No, because
I don't. I don't just have Fox Sports 1. I have Fox Sports 2.
Can
I have
you
Fox
get,
Soccer.
Wait, can you get just sports channels?
I get every channel.
I know you get every channel. I don't want every channel. I only want sports channels. And when I talked to Verizon about just getting sports channels, they said, yeah, we'll give you like these stinky sports channels you never heard of. You know, we'll give you like Massachusetts lacrosse channel.
I would watch that channel.
I know you would, but I would like to actually see some real sports, and they won't do that unless I buy like all these other channels.
I'm trying to think
of
what I was watching this weekend. I tried to write down what I watched on Sunday.
Yeah, how would you know? You were so drunk, you couldn't tell what you were watching.
I watched.
What does it even matter? Why do you pay $250 a month for TV?
It's like $200.
If you don't even know what you're watching, you might as well just like have a Felix the Cat cartoon over and over and over again. Like
Dale
on
writes,
replay.
Jim is one of those drunks who gets louder and more animated until the tipping point.
It's true.
I know. She keeps turning me down.
I do.
Okay.
You get louder and louder, and I keep, like, slowly moving.
I watched F1. It was the Austria Grand Prix.
Oh, did you see that all those people in Ganz, Austria, got, like, killed, that crazy guy? Like,
what?
They were having, in Austria, like, the F1 thing was happening, right? And they had all these people in the town square, like, celebrating, wee-hee, we have the F1, yoo-hoo. And some guy went nuts and, like, just plowed his car into the crowd on purpose. And then he got out and started stabbing people with a knife.
No, I did not watch it that long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was
terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah, it was like a crazy mass murder. You know, I mean, if you were in America, you would have had a gun. It would have been a lot simpler, you know? But you had to use a car and a knife.
Do we have a blender sound in the back, by the way?
Do we? I don't know.
By the way, the Chicago Blackhawks and the Golden State Warriors won
their respective leagues. Okay.
I was watching Old Timers Day on Sunday.
Yeah, I watched it on Periscope.
Which was garbage.
Yeah.
Straight up garbage. Because Johnny Damon was the most contemporary player that was on the game. So where was Jeter? Where was Rivera?
It has to be a while before Jeter qualifies as an all-timer, doesn't it?
What does he have that's so important going on?
He's got his entire publishing company and his fabulous...
Oh, whatever, man.
What's the name of his website? The Tribune website?
Come on,
for
man.
For those people?
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right.
Where's Posada? Where's Mariano Rivera?
Posada's a little bit bitter about the Yankees. He doesn't feel like...
Oh, yeah. I had a terrible time with the Yankees, except I made a ton of money and was the best player. Like, come on.
Who's the best catcher ever, except for Yogi Berra?
He's not the best catcher. Let's not get crazy. Let's not get insane here. All right, Johnny Bench's numbers are huge, and Piazza's numbers are huge.
Yeah, but they never played for the Yankees, so what do they matter?
I bought a Yankees jersey.
Oh, yeah,
I mentioned earlier.
You're going to... I love how you kind of rub yourself every time you talk about your new Yankees jersey. It's like, it's really interesting.
I bought a Yankees jersey.
Yes.
I want to get a number.
Yeah. I'm glad you don't buy Yankees pants, because that would be really embarrassing.
Yankees pants?
Well, you'd be rubbing something else, then it would be kind of horrible. Okay, go ahead. What?
What happened?
I don't know.
I bought a Yankees jersey on eBay for like $15.
Do they have Yankee pants?
I haven't seen Yankee pants. I have
no
idea.
Ahead. All right, so you bought a Yankees jersey, and you're going to wear it. Whose jersey is it? Does it have a name on
it? It has no number on the back.
Oh.
And for me, as a Red Sox fan and a Yankees, I'm bi-curious on the Yankees.
Yeah, I'm going to bring you over to the Yankee side, but yes.
Look, I mean, I live in New Jersey.
Right.
If the Yankees are in the World Series, I will go to the Yankees game.
Does Chris Christie root for the Phillies? I think he does, doesn't he?
He cheers for the Cowboys, definitely.
Well, that's NFL, but I mean in
no, he cheers, allegedly cheers for the Mets.
Oh, he does?
Allegedly.
Huh. All right, go ahead. So you bought the Yankees jersey. You're going to the Yankees game.
I think on the 4th of July, I will get a number on the back.
Can you get one? Can you
just
get one put on?
There's all kinds of, you know, little, like, get a number on your back, get a name on your back. But I don't want a name in the back. I just want a number.
Oh, dude.
I think I'll get a zero on the back.
Yeah. Can't you get Knobloch? I tried to get a Knobloch jersey.
What was his number? 12 or something?
I don't know what his number was. Knobloch would have been the best.
Look, everybody gives a hard time to Knobloch, but he was actually a great player.
Okay, thanks for listening to Sports Talk.
What? What's happening?
It's time to go.
We have to go.
Yeah, that's our goodbye music. What do you think?
That's our goodbye music?
Yeah, I don't know. It's something I found online.
Stay tuned for Becky.
This has been Sportsy Talk on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope.
That was sudden.
in Rock. I know, but it suddenly was 7 p.m. in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Thanks for listening today.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for
Honky Tonk Radio Girl
with Becky. And
with
we'll
Becky.
Be back.
It's the best
week.
Show.
Well, no, it's not the best show.
It is.
Because
it
that
is
was
a great
Mr. Sharpling's
show.
It's the greatest show.
I hate. I love Becky's shows.
I know you love Becky's show. All right, we all love Becky's show. Okay, I think that's it. Thanks for inviting us into your home tonight, and may God bless.
Hello? What's happening?
What's happening?
That is dead air.
It's happening. Derek.
Turn your radio on. Her program is a-starting. Her voice is as smooth as a purr. Introducing Hank and Buck and Dolly Parton. She's your honky tonk radio girl. Hear that vinyl popping on the airwaves. From the signal tower into your little world. Lord knows all the hopeless hearts that she saves. She's your honky tonk radio girl. She's been known to take requests and have on some special guests. Can't you see those dancing skirts a-twirl? Well, a man sits at home alone on Christmas. She brings him Patsy Cline and Merle. With her gifts of country gold, you know who this is. She's your home. Honky tonk radio girl. She's your honky tonk radio
Boy, howdy. Hey, everybody. You're listening to WFMU. My name is Becky. This is Honky Tonk Radio Girl. I'm here every Monday from 7 to 8, and I'm going to play country music for you. And you're probably a little bit confused by what you're hearing right now, but these are all traditional country songs on the Moog synthesizer as performed by Gil Trithall. Trithall? Someone will tell me how to pronounce it. We're going to hear from him throughout the night. We're going to hear from a lot of great individuals, including Charlene Arthur, who we're going to hear next. But, you know, I encourage you to go to WFMU.org and get on the playlist make some comments. I love hearing from you guys. It's excellent. So stay tuned. Here's Charlene Arthur. Let's get started.
Saddles in the old corral. Where do you ride tonight? Are you rounding up the doggies, the strays of long ago? Are you on the trail of Buffalo?